one-trick ponies. They're like a crocodile. They only know how to bite. That's all they know how to do. And this, of course, puts a big question mark over the future of the world. As far as Kerry is concerned, there's worry about his sanity. Has he begun to lose his marbles? When the neocons lied, the neocons knew they were lying. People like Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Feith and people like this. They had a whole theory of lying. They knew what they were doing. Kerry seems to believe the nonsense that he tells. When he says that President Assad foments the presence of Al-Qaeda for public relations purposes, we have to scratch our heads and say, has Secretary of State Kerry gone off the deep end? Shouldn't he be removed from office because of manifest mental instability?
Well, based on that, Richard Millett, John Kerry did say that Assad, actually, in that opening of the Geneva II conference in, that occurred a couple weeks back, that Assad is a magnet for terrorists. Now, my question to you, Richard Millett, is this. Let's put a simple analogy into the picture. This Homs evacuation of civilians seems to have worked. At least you got some 200 civilians that have been so far evacuated out of that area. But I would think that based on just simple logic, if this is caused by these terrorists on the ground, instead of there being a focus on a transitional body as the opposition wants, why not focus it on eradicating terrorism? I mean, if they're the ones starting the fire, let's put them out instead of working on other things that follow that as a consequence. So my question to you is, why is this insistence by the so-called divided SNC not to have terrorism as a focus, which is what the Syrian government delegation wants at the Geneva conference?
Well, that's what Assad obviously wants to paint the picture as, that he's fighting terrorism. And to an extent, Kerry is saying is that because of what's been going on, because of this horrendous civil war where, let's face it, it was Assad who started this 3 years ago when there was a peaceful civilian uprising and Assad shot down his own people, that unfortunately over those 3 years since, it has attracted terrorists, and now obviously Assad is saying, oh, we're fighting the terrorists. This was all instigated by Assad, and he's willing to destroy Syria, whether he destroys it or whether the terrorists destroy
it. Well, let me come in and ask you a question, Richard Millett. The last round of Geneva talks, there were 1,900 people who were killed. Were you aware of the breakdown of which groups were killed in the 1,900 number that I'm citing? Do you know that breakdown?
Well, I mean, I don't know why you're picking on 1,900. There's been 130,000 people who've been
because
killed,
that was the,
including
that,
over 10,000
children. It was a long-awaited talks that finally took place, the last round, 1,900 to be killed during the talks. Out of this 1,900, there were roughly about 430 civilians. The rest were Assad forces, along with some of these insurgents. You're saying that Assad is instigating this. I find that to be hard to believe, along with some other people, I'm sure, when there's Syrian army soldiers that are being killed.
Well, of course the Syrian army soldiers being killed now, but in the beginning, Assad killed his own people, and it's taken 3 years now for, obviously, the rebels have been armed, so the rebels are obviously going to kill Assad's troops. So there is a war going on. I mean, your analyst in America talks about the potential for Middle East war. If he turns on the television, he will see one happening now. In Syria, 130,000 people dead, including over 10,000 children. We have seen reports of disgusting torture by the Assad regime. That, in my book, is a Middle East war. Whether you call it, it's spilling over into Jordan, it's spilling over into Syria. It's happening now, and you don't need any encouraging by any outside group. Unfortunately, you've got Russia and Iran on one side, Saudi Arabia on the other side. It would be It's a fantastic idea, but if Iran and Russia stepped away from Assad, Saudi Arabia stepped away, and this is a proxy war, isn't it, really, between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And this is now being fueled by both sides, really. And if both sides did step away, then that would be the one chance to cool the situation in Syria and allow the diplomatic process to take over. But Iran and Russia are fully committed to supporting Assad, and Saudi Arabia are fully committed to supporting the opposition. And we're seeing the slow destruction of Syria and the continued slaughter of Syrian people, who are the main casualty here.
Sounds exactly like the question Webster Griffin Tarpley, that the Britain's state TV, the BBC, asked in a press conference from Lakhdar Brahimi, which there came no answer to. Saudi Arabia is known for arming these terrorists, forming some of these terrorists under one umbrella.
Yes.
And of course, you have Iran as being one of the countries not invited. I mean, at this point, given the track record, Webster Griffin Tarpley, of the failure of the Geneva talks, which by many accounts it has been deemed as such, why is there not a movement towards inviting Iran to the talks, given that the track record speaks for itself, that it hasn't bore really any concrete results?
Well, I would certainly advocate the immediate presence of Iran in this. The State Department argument is that Iran is a party to the conflict. Well, if they believe that, then in the same breath, they should be saying Iran has to be invited, because as Lavrov points out, the point of peace talks is not to invite people you like. It's not your birthday party. It's supposed to have the presence of the countries whose cooperation is essential to create a durable settlement. So that should be done. I would also point out, I cannot see how Ban Ki-moon can stay in office. I think whatever the mechanism for impeachment might be in the UN Charter, and I don't think it's actually spelled out, one of the things in the UN Charter is that the Secretary General of the United Nations is not supposed to take dictation from any country or group of countries. He's supposed to be an international civil servant. Ban Ki-moon has flunked the test. Back to this question about peaceful demonstrations at the beginning, I had an opportunity to investigate that question a little while ago in both Homs, important center of this entire tragedy, and in Banias along the coast. In both of those cases, as soon as there were democratic demonstrations in Homs in particular, there was a third force, people who came in with weapons and began shooting in both directions. In other words, provocateurs, and these were death squads. They were death squads sent in by Saudi Arabia and Qatar and like-minded people. And that was, in the case of Banias, before there was any democratic demonstration, there was a massacre of some poor Syrian logistical troops, draftees, who were cut down by some pretty capable guerrillas who had been shipped in by the United States from Libya, right? This was the project of the ambassador of the United States who was killed there. The most important question for Syria is to kick out the foreign fighters, repatriate them, expel them. As far as I can see, even the draft coming from the Jarba forces, the Syrian National Coalition, or whatever they called themselves this week, that draft says that the removal of the foreign fighters is a goal embraced by the Syrian National Coalition. Of course, the Syrian National Coalition has no military ability to do that. The magnets for terrorism are Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia, MI6, the British intelligence, the CIA, and let's not forget the famous DGSE, the DGSE of France, who have their dream of reestablishing some kind of French colonial yoke over Syria, right, where they were in recent decades, right? They occupied the place until well into the 1940s. But the foreign fighters, most of the Syrian people on the ground who were in a sort of a middle position,
right,
would say Syrians
I
could solve their problems.
We're just
but
out
we
of time on this. I'm sorry. That's Webster Griffin Tarpley talking to us there. Author and historian, and we also had a journalist and political commentator, Richard Millard, who spoke to us from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tapwai and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.